Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy broadcast for the Persecuted Church is a fast-moving gospel news program. Therefore, we do not accept calls, and all correspondence and inquiries of broadcast of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Wednesday, the 20th day of November, 2019, and the reading in the Word this week is found in Genesis chapter 23, starting at verse 1 through chapter 25, verse 18. 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 31. And the New Testament portion is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 57. Be sure to follow the Warn Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Look for hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag Warn Radio, and on LinkedIn it's Watchman. You can listen to our shows on Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcasts, and also on Deezer. And you can find our shows on our website at warn-usa.com and also danaglennsmith.com. Every week, Dana takes time to write an article. It's inspired. And it's very pertinent for the day and age we're living in. So please take time to read the articles and pass them along to your friends and relatives. This week, the featured articles are Ecclesiastes, Mere Reflecting Man's Choice. Ecclesiastes Mere casts a reflection regarding man's choices. Many today may find its content depressing. Some people may not even consider it at all. But the Ecclesiastes Mere is full of wisdom. Excuse me. We walk through some verses found in Ecclesiastes and remember from the book and the writer, along with the speaker, the full revelation of the coming Messiah has not yet been fully revealed. Also, faith of Jesus in a world of evil. We can clearly see the faith of Jesus Christ daily in this world of evil. The days of lawlessness warned about by the Apostle Paul are clearly upon our generation. One day you could be safe, secure, and ministering for Jesus. Then the next day you're facing the evil. But in this evil, we can never leave the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. As well, he promised, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So you can read those articles and more on warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And tonight on Advocacy Gospel News, we'll cover these stories. Up front, two Christians murdered, and that's Nigeria. Miraculous healing leads to conversions. The global news, Trump supporting Israeli settlements. Israel, raining rockets weather app. Also, we'll read Mexico's horror bloodshed continues. Kenya's widow's faith amidst the loss of her husband. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Glad to be here. To get away from,
yep.
I don't know, it's just good to be here to advocate for our brethren.
Yeah, it is. We're getting down. I can't believe December's coming up, the end of 2019. Seemed like we just started this year.
Yeah, it does.
I just literally can't believe it. I say that all the time.
It's just flown by. It just amazes me all the time.
Well, up front, I wanted to talk about a couple of hot spots for persecution. And the first one is Nigeria. Now, you and I both know Nigeria is one word and one nation that we talk about, it seems, all the time. And the other is the Fulani. And, of course, in Nigeria, the Fulani and Boko Haram are the two major threats. And they will not only kill Christians, they will kill other Muslims, anybody that gets in their way. And in the latest, of course, in this one little small town out in the middle of the bush, two men, both members of the Evangelical Reformed Church of Christ, were sleeping in their rooms, and a group of herdsmen, Fulani herdsmen, which are Muslim and have been in Nigeria for some time, committing jihad against Christians. And as these two, the first one, Monday Kura, is 87, and Emmanuel Agom was 48, as they slept, Monday Kura was hacked to death while the other guy was shot to death. And, you know, it just, these people, like, the Fulani, live to butcher and kill Christians. And, of course,
unconscionable. It's unbelievable how wicked they can do this.
And, you know, the government, of course, Buhari is a Fulani himself, and yet he doesn't do anything to stop it. And while he was running for re-election, the Fulani actually stopped attacking so he would get back in office. At least that was the coincidence that seemed to be when he did get elected. And then as soon as he got elected, well, the Fulani attacks began again. And of course, this
more
particular
extreme than ever, I think.
Yeah, and this attack that happened had an attack in March, and they burned 30 houses that time and killed 10 Christians.
Yeah.
And they've had other attacks in the Kaduna state that took 130 lives. And it's kind of interesting that in Nigeria, 51.3% of Christians, that's the population there, Muslims live primarily in the north and the middle belt, and they only account for 45. So it's a majority of Christians, but yet we find that, there was Jonathan Goodluck Johnson. Now, he was a Christian, and he lost to the Muslim dude, Buhari. But Jonathan Goodluck Johnson couldn't get anything done either. And so Open Doors has it listed, Nigeria listed as 12th on the World Watch List this year in 2019. And, of course, North Korea is one. And let's see, Afghanistan, I think, was number two. Mm-hmm. And another area, area that we talk about is Pakistan. And Lahore comes up all the time, it seems.
Yes, yes.
And a Christian home there in Lahore was set on fire. And it comes to find out, the whole story is that Mansoor Masai, or Massey, has been facing hatred for not selling his house. And he believes, you know, that he should be able to live there. Now, see, the thing of it is that at one time, the neighborhood that they were in were predominantly Christian, but over time the Muslims moved in and they started pressuring him to move and he wouldn't sell, so they started resorting to tactics. And of course, this time two motorcycles went by and they threw something in the upper window, and this is the upper window of the house that caught on fire. And of course, him and his family were down below together, and the upper floor was on fire. Of course, they couldn't do much, but it damaged everything up there and their entire electrical system. But he says for the last 6 months, they've been pressuring him to leave the neighborhood and go to a Christian settlement. But he says we never gave in to their threats. And of course, coming from Pakistan, this guy's lucky to be alive, because most of the time, as we've reported in times past, for instance, this one young boy was a Christian, and this was in the brick kiln business, and he was hanging around. His family was there, apparently. And they asked him if he was a Christian, and he said yes, so they threw him in the brick kiln and burned him alive. Then there was a young couple who was accused of things by an imam that never happened regarding blasphemy. And both of them were beaten and then thrown in the brick kiln and burned as well. They left behind, I think, three kids. And so Pakistan is also where Sia Bibi was. And she got out of there, thank God. But we see this all the time.
Yes.
And
amen.
So while you're living in the world, for instance, in America, let's use us. And if you think you have problems, think again, because there's people around, your brothers and sisters in Christ, that are being beaten, killed, threatened, run out. They're starving. They're naked. They're in prison. They face death penalties and every other kind of evil. And so,
yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, you know, that you look at American Christianity and we live in a different world. I mean, here you got, and I'm going to maybe be touching on this, and I'm going to, you know, you have Kanye West, which just bought two big ranches here where we live. He tried to get a particular permit to build an amphitheater.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
was turned down. But see, he had come to the Lord, and now he's holding these big meetings, and he has churches, and you know, this is a different kind of Christianity. He can live in America because we're free here. And you can be a millionaire, and you can buy your ranches, and you can build your own amphitheater. You sell records. You do all kinds of things, and you're making money, and you have faith, and everything's wonderful in your world. But yet you have Christians that they wouldn't even have anything concerning what you would have. Your only common link would be the faith of Christ. But it seems a disparity to me when we look around the world and we see these people going through this stuff. Now, Pakistan has been trying to do better. And they've revealed that in a number of ways, specifically with the Sia Bibi and a few others who their blasphemy charges were thrown out. And of course, with the Sia Bibi, it was because there wasn't any evidence. So remember Pakistan and remember Nigeria and remember them in your prayers, and be sure to find organizations and support them with prayers and finances if you can. Make sure they have boots on the ground. This is important. Contacts on the ground to be able to make a difference. For instance, you can look at Barnabas Aid. You can look at Samaritan's Purse. There's a lot of them out there. So at any rate, that's a little bit about the life in Pakistan and Nigeria and the danger, and it's ongoing all the time. Now, we do have another story up front, and Tower's going to be reading this one. Are you ready on yours?
The miraculous healing?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm not sure where this comes from, but this happened in India. In a group of 40 new believers were meeting secretly in a believer's home when they were attacked by militant Hindus, and they were the pastor Kumar and three others were rushed to the hospital in critical condition. And Pastor Kumar was bloodied and unconscious and not expected to live. In the week after the attack, other church members living in fear for their lives were out walking one day and reported seeing an amazing vision in the sky. And it appeared to be a warrior angel moving and dancing, and it helped displace the dread that these people were feeling and gave them courage. And local Hindus who witnessed the sight became less hostile to the believers. And previously they were enraged whenever they would see believers gathered. And now they began joining them to worship secretly. And about 2 weeks ago, the three injured members were released, but Pastor Kumar continued to need further treatment. He had had several surgeries, one a major procedure on his back, and even after that, the doctors were uncertain if he'd even be able to stand, let alone walk again. And with many people were praying, and he was soon up and about, and the doctors could not deny a miracle had happened. And he was to have been discharged from the hospital last Friday on November 9th, Saturday. However, he developed unusual pain in his back, and an X-ray showed another injury to his backbone, and the doctors suggested more surgery. And they told him without more surgery, it would seriously affect the rest of his life. But Pastor Kumar knew the Lord could heal him. He so strongly believed this that he told the attending doctors that the Lord Jesus would not only reduce his pain, but would, by the prayers of his children, heal him completely. He then shared his testimony and other experiences that he'd had with the Lord. And the GP and surgeon found themselves listening respectfully and intently to their strange patient. And they and all the people in the hospital are fundamentalist Hindus. And they decided they would wait and do another X-ray the next morning. And of course, Pastor Paul, learning of this, sent out a prayer alert. And he said, let them believe Jesus is the Lord and mighty healer. And he encouraged prayer warriors. We believe our Lord will not allow his children to be ashamed before Gentiles and scoffers. And the next day, they x-rayed him again, and they found no injuries. So they were dumbfounded, and they thought, well, maybe something was wrong with their x-ray machine. And the pastor told him, without a doubt, it is my Lord's mighty work. Trust him, for he is your Lord too. Accept him, then you will see many, many wonders. Empty of arguments, they couldn't say anything to him, so they still decided to wait and do one more test the next day. And when Friday morning's x-ray showed the same thing, the doctors had to relent. It is a great miracle from your Lord, they admitted. We now believe his wondrous works. And so he asked them to arrange a meeting with the hospital staff, and he told them, I'd like to share my story with them. And they told him they'd have to check and with the hospital authorities. Well, around noon, then they told him that they had organized a meeting, and it would take place in 2 hours, or at two. So Pastor Kumar and another person prayed for the 2 hours before the meeting, and more than 500 people, nurses, nursing students, doctors, and other staff, sat waiting to find out why they had been called. Almost all were Hindus. And so he shared his story about his upbringing, his conversion from Hinduism, and followed with a powerful presentation of the gospel. And he said a pin drop would have echoed throughout the auditorium. And as he wrapped up, the Holy Spirit guided him to go further, and he said, please stand if you are ready, if you are really willing to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And everyone looked around. Nobody stood up. So he repeated the question, and then a young woman sitting in the front stood up. She raised her hand and rose to her feet. And slowly, one by one, all the doctors, nurses, administrative staff, everyone in attendance, rose, stood up, and they accepted the Lord as their Savior. And he explained enough that so each one, in their own words, replied along the lines of, I accept Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Heavenly Father, as my Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus came down from heaven and was crucified on the cross of Calvary, died and rose from the dead, to give me salvation and eternal life. I believe in him and accept him as my Lord and Savior. And so then Kumar prayed for him, and now these people ask for Bibles, and so we're praying for funds to be able to get to them, to be able to provide Bibles to each and every one of them. That's an exciting story. And as further icing on the kingdom's cake, the surgeon gave up all his fees for Pastor Kumar. All other hospitals for him and the three church members have also been discounted by 10%, and that's remarkable. Praise the Lord.
Yep. You know, that is so great of a testimony. That does come from Bibles from the Mideast.
Oh, okay. I wondered where it was from. I didn't see anything on there.
So at any rate, we get, you know, quite a number of great testimonies from various organizations, but signs and miracles and wonders is common with this particular ministry. They are all former Muslims, matter of fact, the one, Pastor Paul, is a former Muslim, I think.
I believe so.
And they're working.
They're
working in a Hindu area in this one. So it's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah, the stories we're hearing and the miracles that are happening by prayer and fasting. Thank you, Lord.
Well, we got another one we've got to look at here. And
which one are you doing?
Well, I'll get there. I had to adjust some stuff. The one we're talking about now is some of the latest stuff regarding Israel. And, you know, this week, I believe it was, Trump came out and spoke about, you know, his administration changed the policy on settlements. Of course, this came at a time when for instance, just recently, Israel attacked a bunch of Syrian targets where Iran was at. And so you have Hezbollah shooting rockets. You have Iran over there in Lebanon doing it. And they were sending over some rockets. And the targets they were hitting were Iranian missile batteries over in Syria, quite a few of them. And of course, we talked not too long ago about the Ezekiel 38 war, which has come up quite a bit in the last several years. And we reported on Jerry Golden and what he was talking about, what the feeling over there in Israel was regarding a war. And a week later, you know, of course, Israel took out the main commander over in the Gaza Strip that had been behind a lot of the rockets and all the other stuff. And so as a result, a number of rockets started coming over from Hezbollah and other targets, as well as from Gaza, up to 400 a day. And Israel's been hitting a lot of them. And so you have this going on. Now, see, here you have during this, actually, this one came out, you know, just recently about Trump backing the settlements. Now, of course, the settlements have been a matter of issue for a long time. Now, Obama said that the settlements were illegal under international law, so it was his policy and in Washington to prevent new construction. Well, as if we have any say-so in that. But Pompeo, who is at the forefront of this, says that this particular strategy has not been successful. The establishment of civilian settlements inconsistent with international law hasn't worked, and it hasn't advanced the cause of peace. Now, of course, this excited everybody involved. Now, of course, he also, Trump, recognized Jerusalem as a capital. And so there's no doubt that there's been a lot of problems when we discuss these things. Now, see, a lot of these settlements, though, you know, when you look at it, you know, they're in their what we would call the so-called, that's the word used, West Bank. And this story comes out of CBN. And of course, they do have a presence of reporters over there who monitor all this stuff. And they said, the biblical region of Judea and Samaria is the West Bank. And they're already full of small-sized towns and cities with tens of thousands of residents who are Israelis. So it's not like they're doing anything unusual. The settlements are right next to big cities. And they're all part of the same thing. And, of course, the EU has been moving to label all Israeli products from the settlement communities in order to bring about the BS, the boycott, and diversify and et cetera movement that's been going on. And so You know, the bottom line of it is, again, we find the Trump administration standing against the UN and the whole world in order to support Israel's settlements. And Jews are the people of Judea. And that's who they are and what they have been. And that goes way back. You know, you can trace this even before the time of the return from Babylon. They were there, and there was some in the land even when some of them was carried into captivity. And of course, David, him, you know, was the one that actually took Jerusalem. He defeated the Philistines in a great war. Matter of fact, there's a major prophecy about that, and some words about that. You can look that up. But so Israel's had that for a long time, and so, you know, Israel sees Trump as Cyrus, who was the one that actually helped the Jews because he, you know, brought down Babylon, freed the Jews, told them to go rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and live there. Cyrus was in the Bibles called the Lord's anointed, and some of the modern day rabbis and others who watch prophecy declared that Trump was also a Cyrus figure to Israel. Now, there's no doubt whether you believe he's a Cyrus figure or not. Here in America, he's hated by the left and the liberals, which is no stretch there because they hated Israel to begin with, and they're going to hate people that back Israel. But in spite of anything and everything, Trump's been the only one, the first one to actually move the embassy to Jerusalem, which no other president had done. He took a stand against the entire world regarding the settlements in support of Israel, and he continues to support Israel. The only thing, Tower, that doesn't make sense in all this is, as you and I are speaking about this, Israel still can't form a government. It's actually over Lieberman, and of course, you've got Netanyahu, and you got this whole thing where you...
It's so confounding to me why they can't come together and form a government. They're going to try the third time.
Yeah.
Well, it's just crazy. It doesn't make
it
any
is.
Sense.
So, you know, that's just the way it is. And, of course, as we also cover, we wanted to talk about raining rockets down. And of course, in a story out of the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, they brought up the fact, you know, now on both our phones, Tower and I have a lot of different apps. We also have a weather app, but we do not have an app that it shows that, you know, instead of snowing like it is now, you know, this particular thing is for Israelis, and it shows rockets raining down. And so
that's incredible
when there is
they would need an app to warn of the rockets, you know, raining down.
Well,
like we have like a weather app.
Yeah, I know. That's amazing. They tell you the city, they tell you how many, and of course, it came during a time that as many as 400 rockets were launched at the state of Israel by Islamic Jihad terrorists in Gaza. And how they got there, only God knows. I don't know. And so, you know, this thing continues to escalate. And but their various, you know, the first batch of Iron Dome went over there a long time ago, about the time that we took on Saddam Hussein. Well, since then, the technology is a lot better, and they've been hitting quite a few of them. But if Israel ever gets into a real big war, you know, they're going to need Cyrus, that is the American Cyrus, as they look at him, Trump. To be still in office. So I definitely think that Trump will, you know, this impeachment thing, I don't pay any attention to Napolitano and his assessment on any legal things because he's nuttier than a fruitcake. You want to know the truth on how things are going, you go to Jay Sekulow and the ACLJ, and he'll give you the square up on what's really happened constitutionally in these regards. And I don't pay any attention to all of the stuff regarding the impeachment because 90% of it is nothing but baloney. I pay absolutely 100%, not at all. 100% of the time, not at all do I pay attention to one thing coming out of the Democratic camp. 100% all the time, I don't pay any attention to anything coming out of ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and other liberal anti-American type media establishments who use liberality and the hatred of Trump to fill their coffers by other liberal-minded, anti-God-hating people instead of having, it's just pure wickedness. And you may not like it, but it's pure wickedness. Anytime you think you can gather in the House and do what they're doing in impeachment and call that honesty and call that justice, you're nuts. Now, even Ken Starr said today that it was devastating, but it's not devastating. I disagree with him totally. And, all of this stuff is hearsay and baloney. There's not one shred of evidence that's truthful. But yet the Democrats, in all their wickedness and all their unrighteousness, think that they can, whatever they say and whatever they do is going to bring truth. It's not. They're wicked. This is a wicked attempt. And Trump has done nothing, but the one that will determine everything is the Lord. And so we are waiting and watching to see what the Lord is going to do. And by that, regarding America, we'll find out whether or not Trump is going to be impeached or not. Whether Trump gets impeached or whether he doesn't get impeached, that's not going to stop anything regarding Israel. And it's going to not stop anything regarding what's going to happen to America. Because America right now is cutting the timeline and the lifeline of how long she's going to stay a viable society. And so unless something happens and unless we see some real changes, this country is headed for more trouble than you could shake a stick at. So at any rate, we're going to move forward now as we look at everything. And we do have another one, and this is I Wanted to Die. Are you ready on that one?
Oh, yeah. It's just heartbreaking. I'll try, but it makes me emotional.
Well, do your best.
Well, okay. This is a story about Brandy, and she shared her story as part of PureFlix Restored with Missy Robertson. And Missy is... from the Duck Dynasty, and she has a business that helps women recover. It's life-changing work to help women in crisis, and it's called Laminin. It's Robertson's jewelry business, where women go to work after they leave jail, escape trafficking, overcome addiction, or need a reboot. As Brandy said, she was once one of those women. And Brandy is a former employee of Lanolin, and she shared her powerful story of unimaginable pain and adversity, and she overcame the odds. She said when she was 2, her mother left her on the doorstep of a dope man's house, and she never came back. She left us there on promises that she would come back to pay for the drugs, and she didn't. And the drug dealer ended up dropping Brandy and her baby brother off at Child Services, and they were adopted by their grandfather. And she said life was good until her mom showed up 8 years later. At first, Brandy was intrigued and wanted to know her mother, and so she and her brother ended up moving back in with her, and that's when her life went terrible. It took a dramatic turn for the worse, and she said when they moved in with her, all hell broke loose. We were there for about 3 days, and I was smoking pot. Mind you, she's only 10 years old. And about 2 weeks after that, they were tying her hands and feet to the bed, shooting dope into her arms and raping her. Things went from bad to worse for Brandy, and the imaginable abuse continued until she was age 16. They would sell her to a pimp. They would take her to truck stops so that and pimp her out to provide for their drugs. And she said her worth was not very much. Brandy said she would go without a shower for days at a child with sores appearing all over her body from the drugs being shot into her veins. And life didn't radically improve when she left home. She eventually found herself living in a life of crime, and she was soon incarcerated. She had been arrested for manufacturing methamphetamine, and she was in prison for 7 years. And after prison, after she was released, she fell in love and got pregnant. But she quickly realized she was in a terrible and damaging relationship, and she ended up in a battered women's shelter. And after 2 months, her daughter was born, and she found herself back in prison. And she said that's when she experienced true hopelessness and wanted to die. She fought the guard so that she could be put in seclusion. And she noted that she was alone in confinement for 4 years. She said, I lost my mind. I was throwing feces. I had literally lost my mind. I was eating toilet paper. Those are the things you see in psych wards. But God had plans to turn it around. And next to her cell was a Christian barracks, a location where inmates would wake up every morning singing praises to God. And Brandy would torment the women who participated, cussing and yelling and pounding on the walls when they went to sleep, but it did not dissuade them. And she said, no matter how hard I beat and how bad I banged, they'd wake up in the morning always singing praises to Him. And a female chaplain eventually approached Brandy and spoke faith into her life. And it wasn't until she got out of lockdown that she truly had an epiphany about God's love. And it was sparked by some love given to her by fellow inmates in the Christian barracks. And she said when she got out of lockdown, the people I was trying to disrupt all the time let me come in there, and they knew that I was the crazy lady that was beating and banging. And she said, I walked in. It was like everyone was holding their arms open. I'm like, this is prison, and I never felt more free. And she eventually got out of prison and desperately wanted to change her life, with her daughter serving as her main motivation. And she came to Laminin, where she worked with Robertson and got her life back on track. Now she says, a blood-bought child of God. I am free.
That is what this is for.
Thank God. And it's just heartbreaking because you think of all, she's not the first one and not the last to be in that situation. My heart just breaks for these kids.
Yep. Mine too. When I see what they do to the kids. You know, and when we read in the Bible and history, there is a history of populations, you know, sacrificing their own children. And today on the altar of drug abuse, you know, anything goes in our society. We are molesting and we are sending these kids into life of torment. And this is why Christ died on the cross right here. See, it's not just about forgiveness. It is about forgiveness. It's about healing. It's about restoration. God
yes,
can
amen.
Restore, and there's a number, restore seven times what the devil has taken from you. But seven is a number of completion, which means God can restore everything that you had ever lost mentally, spiritually, physically, whatever it is, and he can heal you and he can deliver you. Now that is what this represents. This is why we can report on miracles as well, not only with Brand here, but coming from ministries like the Mideast Bible. And, you know, the thing of it is that you can donate to Mideast Bible too. And all they want is money to buy Bibles to give to those who are converted. And that same thing is talked about, Barnabas Aid, persecution.com, CBN, I think they were talking about a lot of them. Everybody in America knows, if you're in this kind of a ministry, if you have covered this like we have and others have, that when these people get saved, they truly get saved, truly get delivered, and they just want God's word. That's what they want. And this woman, this woman here, she can be great at bringing God's love to other people who was in the situation like her. This is God's love in action. And see, it's not about the Americas of this world or the UKs of this world or the Chinas of this world. It's about this God and our Father who sent his only begotten Son so that people Amen. Could be delivered. Now, you see, Trump may be considered Cyrus, but he's just a tool. The purposes of God is what we're talking about, even in America. So while we have globalists and others who want to pervert our society, and they want to pervert our children, and they want to say that truth is false and that which is evil is good, but see, this is not up to them. God is governor of the nations, and he can wake up, he can destroy, he can build up, and he can tear down. And when his judgment falls, it is always redemptive upon those who will repent, because he's a redemptive God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You did a good job on that, in spite of going... You know, stories like this, Tower, this is what this is about. See, when you talk about the rejoicing over one sinner who repents, you know, this is a woman who knew she was a sinner. That wasn't the issue. The issue with her is she was so beat down, so used, so destroyed, there was nothing left.
She had no self-worth at all.
Nothing. And it was Christians in prison that helped this woman.
That's
matter
right.
Of fact, we were talking about Kanye West, and he was in a prison not too long ago, and they had a massive meeting there, and he was talking to them about accepting Christ, and so many accepted Christ. The article said that the guards had tears. See, this is what happened.
I'm thankful he got saved, because he can reach a large audience.
Well,
you know,
he can reach
God.
the young people too. You see, God is out there working in the world, and he's working in America. See, Kanye West has been going all over the place and been in the news about all the Christian stuff he's doing. But he's not the only one. Franklin Graham's been having all kinds of decision tours all the time.
Yeah,
we report
good.
On miracles of people getting saved around the world. I'm telling you, in spite of the devil telling you that everything's going to hell and there's no hope, God is saving people. He's saving the
Amen.
Enemies of God. He's saving people who need saving. He's redeeming people who have lost every bit of hope. He's healing people. He's bringing miracles and signs and wonders. We have seen him. You know, these things are going on. And Tower and I saw our own miracle many, many years ago. We saw it when he worked in our lives.
Amen.
So thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, if we're getting too excited for you and you don't like us to say praise Jesus, well, I guess you'd better just take another Advil, either that or repent, get on your knees and seek his face and let him heal you. Matter of fact, Advil ain't going to do nothing for you. Neither is that beer nor the pot. There's only one. There's only one power on earth that's going to deliver. Remember, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But the Lord came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And if you have a family today, if your children are having trouble, I got news for you. It's time. You need to focus on your kids. You need to know what they're teaching your kids in school, because you have got devils in these schools teaching children immoral ways. You have got legislators, you have got politicians teaching society immoral things. Now, I wrote about some of this in my latest article today. It's not out, but it will be. That's why you need to listen. You need to also read the articles that I'm writing, because these come with a lot of work and seeking of the Lord. And they are pertinent to today's society. And we need your help to get the word out and to get the articles out. Matter of fact, the articles, just to get them out, if I'm going to get them out, which we haven't been able to because we don't have the funds to associate money to promote them in everything that we want in order to get them out.
But people can help by sending them off to their friends and relatives.
That's right. We need your help to get this word out. And if you have problems finding out who it is that you should support or send your money to, send us an email. Go to our websites and we'll tell you a few of them. And we're not connected with any of them. We don't get anything for referring them. I get no funds for, mentioning some of these ministries. In many cases, they probably don't even know we're mentioning them. We're just telling you.
Yeah. Because they're on the ground helping our brother and sisters
exactly.
in the Lord.
And there's a lot of these kind of organizations, not just America, but in the UK and in Europe. And we have some, we get up in Ireland, we get over in the Scandinavian nations. There is a lot of ministries trying to make it affect a change because they have the faith of Jesus. So remember, this is a battle, and the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But in Christ's name, we come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And that first step is repenting and receiving him. Read John 1.
Greater is he that is in you
than he that is in the world.
Yep.
John 1, John 3, John 10 through 18, 1 John 1 through 5. And Romans 1 through about chapter 7. Read those prayerfully. He went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Yes, amen.
John
Thank
chapter
you,
1. Now, we are a few minutes away, and another story that maybe we can finish in a short time, and that's Mexico.
Okay.
And cartel gunmen slaughtered three women and six children. They were dual American and Mexican citizens. They were traveling in the state of Sonora, Mexico, 70 miles south of Douglas, Arizona, and they were all killed. And, of course, this made the news. It really did. And Greg Yoder happens to be executive director for Keys for Kids. He has this to say. We keep hearing, why is this happening? Why is this going on in Mexico? Why won't the government take care of all these issues? The issue that we're seeing is human nature. It's called sin. Apart from Christ, these kind of things happen. The answer to sin nature seems pat at a time when a tragedy leaves two nations reeling. These are innocent people that are gunned down all because of sin selfishness. But you see, Christ takes care of the sin problem.
Yes, and amen.
This is the problem in America as well and the nations. And so tonight you have to realize where you're at. And if you are living in a home and you have food and you're at peace, you have a job, you've got the blessings that many have here in America, you need to be thankful. Pray for your kids. Pray for others. Give to those that help people that are on the ground. And put your prayers and your finances to work in the kingdom of God. Because, you know, the bottom line of it is, you know, when you look at that, and if you're a family member and you lose them, it's really hard to, you know, Tower, comfort people.
It is.
When you've lost your family member to murder or something. You know, and
yes,
how many of the illegal aliens that have come over the border, there's many that turn into murderers and everything else. We read about it all the time here. All the time.
We do.
It's sin nature. And we could talk even more about that, but we're running out of time, Tower. We're going to have to be going.
Okay. Well, be sure to join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines for continuation of Pride of Moab, Isaiah's prophetic book, and this is going to be part 26. That's tomorrow night on Battle Lines. And I want to thank you for joining us. We love you. We appreciate you. And thank you for all you do for the Lord and His coming kingdom. May God richly bless you. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to look to the Lord. Remember your children, your grandchildren, and the young ones that are in school. This is the Watchman. Be blessed. Look unto Him. Shalom, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.